www.radiougly.com. Good evening, everybody. It is Thursday. It is right around 6:37 p.m. And we're lucky enough to actually have our featured artist on the phone. Okay, it's Eric, the guitar player from Sex Slaves. And Eric, how about you jump in there and say hi?
What's up, guys? This is Eric 13 of the Sex Slaves, saying hello to Radio Ugly.
There you go. Eric, it's great to have you on the phone. I know this was kind of short notice. You guys have been busy, busy. You just came back from California?
That's correct. We were out at the NAMM convention, checking out the goods, and saw some great shows, saw a bunch of friends, saw a ton of musicians, and some lovely ladies as well.
You guys left, I think, you've been gone for probably about 4 or 5 days, no?
Yeah, it's actually more like 7 or 8 days. I went in a little early just to catch up with some friends on the West Coast and actually did a recording session while I was out there, too.
That's got to be great. You went out representing Gibson Guitars?
Yeah, I'm endorsed by Gibson Guitars and Gibson Gear. So went to their, can't really call it a booth at the convention. They had a gigantic spread. It was very impressive this year. Normally, they have only a private area, but this year they opened it to the public and were displaying their new guitars, and they had some great guest speakers. Chris Christopherson did a solo acoustic set that was pretty badass.
That's got to be kind of a tough mixture of work and play. You're in California, you're there with some people that normally you wouldn't get a chance to see on a regular basis, and at the same time, you've kind of got to represent at the same time. That must have been, I bet you had some long days and long nights.
You are not kidding that. I mean, the convention hall is enormous, and I did like 10 laps around that place just seeing so many people. I'm also endorsed by TC Electronics, and they had some really impressive new technology, some killer pedals and recording equipment hung there for a while, and then we were over at the Marshall booth, and then we were running, we were all over the place, but like you said, it's the day you're at the convention, then at night, that's when the real, you know, the real action kicks in, and everybody's just partying at the bar, and you see a million and one faces. You know, people you haven't seen in years, and people that are out on tour, and everybody's got something going on. It's actually a really awesome event.
It's got to be like Disneyland. You're just running around trying to get in as much as you can in the little bit of time that you actually have there.
It was like the last night Gibson had a party, and Puddle of Mud played, and my friend Marco from Sugar Cult was DJing, sitting out there. Meanwhile, across the hallway in Hilton, Alice Cooper performed at the Coffin Case party.
Oh,
so I ran
my God.
There, and Alice Cooper was just unbelievable.
When did you sleep?
I did not. I slept on the plane like I normally do, but there was just so much awesome stuff happened at NAMM. I decided to just like work the whole plane ride home, and I've been inspired to write because it was great.
You've got two albums out.
That's correct.
One is Bite Your Tongue, and the second being Long Live the Dead. I take it the tracks that we have are off the second album.
Yeah, it's actually, that's off our forthcoming album, Long Live the Dead. What you have is going to be, it's just a single at this point, but that is going to be a track on our brand new album, which is going to be coming out in April.
And that's something you were saying you guys are working on now.
Yeah, actually, the recording is done. It's in the final phases. We're just putting together the packaging and the marketing for it. And we're already hitting the road. We're going to be hitting the road actually before it even comes out. But we want to get it, you know, spread around the U.S. and around the world as quickly as possible because it's a really great record that we worked hard on and we're really proud of.
How far away have you guys went for a show? I think you guys have went international, correct?
Well, you can't get any further, which is where we've been. We've been to the other side of the world, Japan. We've been to Japan twice.
Yep,
we have a third album. Actually, prior to Bite Your Tongue, we released a record called Nikki. It was self-released in the U.S., but Universal put it out, distributed it in Japan. And we went over there, and we've toured twice in Japan and love it over there.
You're planning a tour for the release of your next album. That's going to be kind of up and down the East Coast, you mentioned?
It begins here. We got a show in New York City at Webster Hall on February 4th, and that's kind of the tour kickoff. and we're doing about 30 dates down the East Coast, and we'll be back, take a couple weeks off to do the final release of the record information, and then in March and April we head out, and we're going to be doing about 14, 16 months on the road all around the U.S., Canada, and we're working on Europe right now.
That's got to be incredible. It's got to be a lot to look forward to. You guys are, you're three guys. And
right.
How long have you're looking for albums? Has it been the same three guys through all albums?
Actually, that's a great question. Our first record actually did feature a different lineup. We actually had an additional guitar player at that time. With my friend Brian. But the old creative differences we decided that it would be best if we kept going as a three-piece. So as a three-piece, we've been together since the end of 2004 when we toured Japan.
And that would be the second album, 2004, to now you've got, this is going to be your fourth. So you've been very, very busy.
Yeah, well, after the release of Bite Your Tongue, we toured for almost 2 years straight. We did 18 months, we did about 300 shows all around the U.S. and Canada. And, you know, we're a touring band. We love playing live. That's what we live for. I can't wait to put this record out and play it every night all around the country and around the world. And that's what we do.
You guys seem so busy, okay? It's actually hard to find really some really good information. Like I say, the MySpace is kind of your portal, but you seem to be on the road so incredibly much, and you can tell that you guys love it. Plans, I think the question I'm saying is everybody's label, okay? I know quite a few bands that are out there that really could give a shit about a label, and they're there. I mean, what's your take on that? With the way the internet has played such an important role on music distribution and the way that you guys are seen and can promote yourselves, which you've obviously done in a great way, I just wanted your opinion on that. Are you heading in that direction? What's your thoughts on that whole?
Well, record labels, most people that work for record labels are assholes. Not everybody. There are some great people out there. They are, you know, a little more difficult to find than not to find. But, you know, there's a place for labels. Obviously, the music industry is in a massive phase of change right now. Who knows what record labels are going to look like next year, 5 years from now. It certainly already doesn't look like what they looked like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
I definitely agree. Definitely agree.
As well as, I mean, we've recently switched labels, and just how a band interacts with a record label has changed, you know, 180 degrees. I mean, it's unbelievable that, you know, what record deals used to be, you know, barely exist anymore, and everybody's, you know, labels are trying to monetize your music. I mean, that's what they do. And I'm neither pro nor against labels. I mean, it's nice, you know, for someone to spend a lot of money, your music. But what you have to give in return is really the question.
Do you think you'd have your flexibility? I guess it's like a trade-off, because I can't believe you'd be able. You guys seem to really enjoy go. You think you'd have to give some of that up?
Well, definitely. We recently just parted ways with a record label, and it took forever to do anything. Now, they also, you know, it was a trade-off. They gave us a lot of great resources and put us in an amazing recording studio and absorbed the cost to do that. So, you know, that's nice. You know, if it were up to me, the record would have been out 6 months ago, you know.
Right.
So it's definitely a trade-off. You know, if you have the resources and the ability to do stuff yourself, you know, no, you don't really need a record label. You know, depending on what your goals are, if you're aiming a little higher, your record label's muscle to get you in on TV and get you on the radio can come in handy, so...
Now, when you said that they're treating the bands even different, I take it that they're treating them much better now. Yes? No?
No.
No.
I would not say
no.
Better.
Okay.
If
okay.
Anything, they want more. They want a bigger piece.
Yeah.
But you know, No, that's the answer. No.
Yeah, yeah. It's just something I'm really interested in because, like I say, with like you say, with the way the music and the way it's purchased and the way it's marketed has changed so incredibly much, you'd almost think that they would change with it to try to take advantage of this, but I guess they haven't quite got the picture yet.
Well, they definitely are. They definitely are. I mean, like I said, they're changing the way they make deals. You know, instead of just getting, you know, the money for selling your record, they want money for your live show. They want money for your merchandising and stuff. You know, they're just trying to find their money other places.
I got a couple of questions from some listeners. What do the members, your Eric, the guitar player, the other two members' names, and what do they play?
Well, I'm a singer, the guitar player. Our drummer is J-Bomb, and Del Cheetah is the bass player, and he also sings as well.
Influences?
So many to name, but, you know, we are from New York City, and we consider ourselves a New York City band. Bands like Kiss, the Ramones definitely have an impact on us, but the Misfits, Guns N' Roses, but I love the Stones, the Beatles, Prince. I mean, there's too many to name because I love so much music, but we also are influenced by our surroundings. You know, we write a lot of songs about what we see in New York City, and the new record is, you know, all the characters we meet on the road and stories that occur to us while we're touring around and meeting people all over the world.
Your MySpace page is MySpace/sexslaves, and it looks like you have a website, sexslavesnyc.com. Is that a separate site, or does that link back to your MySpace?
It's a separate site, but you can go back and forth between them. Sexslavesnyc.com is our main website, and you can get our merch there. We're actually just about to launch a brand new version of the website in about 45 days. We're really excited about that in conjunction with the new album. But the MySpace is where you can get, you know, almost all the information, photos, pictures, tour dates, bios, you name it.
And we were talking just before we went on air that you guys yourselves actually manage the MySpace. So if somebody was to send a letter or a request for an ad, it's actually one of you guys, the band members, that are doing the replying.
Yeah, drop us a line. Say hello. Send naked photos if you're cute.
There you go. Okay, I've got just checking my tour dates, February, March. Is it just the 2 months? Where are you going to be in March? You're going to come back home the end of March and take a couple weeks, you said, right?
Yeah, basically we get back in March. We're just already booking it. Starting in, you know, February at the East Coast, we'll come down through PA, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee. And then in March, which we haven't announced yet, we're going to be going a little north from New York through the Northeast all the way up to Boston. Then we're going to do a run out into Cleveland, Ohio, Pennsylvania. And then following that in April, we're going to be doing the entire United States.
That's great. It's so great that you've got all this planned out and you guys are so tight. You could tell from the music you're tight. Guys, I'm really happy for you. That's great. And I want to thank you for finding us, looking us up, sending us some tunes. That's really, really cool. You and I want to thank you for spending some time on the air with me. If you don't have anything else, we're going to end this interview with Long Live the Dead.
Long Live the Dead. Great song.
And this is going to be on CD release number 4 in April, correct?
Yeah, it's going to be on a new album, which is, I guess I'm going to unleash it to the world. No one has known yet, but our new album is going to be called Wasted Angel.
Wasted Angel. I love that. I love Nikki. I love the titles. You guys look the part, too. You must have, you've got to have some great female fans out there.
We have a few fans, yeah.
Because you guys really do. You look the part, you walk the walk. It's got to be a great show to see. So, all right, I'm going to let you go, Eric, and we're going to listen to Long Live the Dead. If you'd hang right out here on the phone with me for a little bit until we get this started. And why don't you say hi or goodbye to everybody out there in Radio Ugly Land.
Take care, Radio Ugly.
Okay, here we go. Long Live the Dead on RadioUgly.com. That was Eric 13 from the Sex Slaves. They're our featured artist of the week. If you haven't done so yet, please hit them up on MySpace. Say hi. Let them know you heard him here on RadioUgly.com. Thanks, everybody. Sex Slaves.